This is Arthur Jackson with Lorna Quigley doing the next educational podcast, the Surgical Prophylaxis Podcast. I'm going to read the disclaimer. This podcast represents my own opinions, does not necessarily represent the formal views or opinions of my employers or affiliated institutions. While I do make every effort to broadcast correct information, I am still learning. I will double-check all my facts, but please realize, as I do, that medicine is a constantly changing science and art. One doctor may have a different way of doing things from another. I welcome any comments, suggestions, or corrections of errors. So I'm Arthur Jackson, consultant in infectious diseases in Cork University Hospital and the Mercy University Hospital. And Lorna Quigley is our senior antimicrobial pharmacist in Cork University Hospital.
So Arthur, what is the overall concept involved today and what are we looking at covering?
Thanks, Lorna. So today we're going to talk about the use of antibiotics to prevent infection around the time of surgery. And that's called surgical antibiotic prophylaxis. This dates from about the 1950s. At that time, it was demonstrated that Staph aureus was isolatable from most operations, most operative fields, and antibiotics could decrease the quantitative burden of the Staph aureus at that time. They did find that timing was very important, and they found that if you give the antibiotics before or at the time of surgery, there is less surgical infections afterwards. And if you delay the antibiotics even by 3 or 4 hours, there was no difference in the rate of infection. And the reason that this is important is that we're dealing with something that has a huge effect on patient well-being. Using American data, we can say that there are possibly about 27 million surgeries done in America per year. Surgical site infections lead to about 4 million excess hospital days. So the more we can reduce surgical site infections, the better. These hospital days in America are associated with about $1.5 billion worth of excess costs. Other data shows that having a surgical site infection is associated with a 60% greater risk of ICU admission and about a 15% increased risk of readmission within a month. These are associations, not causalities, but they do highlight the importance and the idea that perhaps we should be really and truly focusing on trying to reduce our surgical site infections as much as possible. And one way of doing that is appropriate perioperative antibiotics. Okay, Lorna, can I ask you to maybe talk a little bit about the antibiotics that are involved? Thanks.
So often a penicillin or a cephalosporin is chosen as a first line. They are chosen based on the likely pathogen at the site of surgery. Consideration also has to be given to resistant organisms such as MRSA. So if there is a risk of an MRSA infection, you would also need something like a glycopeptide like vancomycin to cover it.
How about prosthetic valve surgery, for example?
So for something like a cardiac operation, sternal wound infections may occur after this, frequently caused by coag-negative staphylococcus, Staph aureus, or Enterobacteriaceae. So you would need an antibiotic that covers both gram-positive and gram-negative organisms.
And our own guideline here for prosthetic valve surgery is to use gentamicin plus vancomycin. Lorna, do you want to say anything about dosing for these medications?
So generally the dosing is the same as for an adult dose of antibiotic. I won't go into the dosing here, but just to be aware that they are in the adult antimicrobial guidelines and in the NCHD.ie app. Certain drugs such as vancomycin and gentamicin are weight-based, so it is important to use the calculator on the NCHD.ie app to get the correct dose.
And Lorna, do you want to mention something about some of the procedures that need antibiotic prophylaxis and some that don't, and I might touch on it again later as well?
So the requirement for prophylaxis is generally based on the type of surgery. So you have your clean contaminated, your contaminated, or your dirty. Generally, it's not required for clean surgery unless there is insertion of prosthetic. Clean contaminated, contaminated and dirty will generally require either surgical prophylaxis or treatment. So examples of surgeries that would not routinely need prophylaxis are a thyroidectomy, a routine laparoscopic cholecystectomy, spleenectomy, or hernia repair without mesh.
Can I ask you now about side effects, and if you can just tell me a little bit about side effects that might be associated with this, that we can't be completely relaxed about using antibiotics in this setting?
So some important side effects to consider are the development of resistant organisms, especially if the prophylaxis has continued beyond what's necessary. This would threaten the therapy of real infections should one arise. There is also the risk of Clostridium difficile infections, so cephalosporins are known to increase the risk, and this increases the mortality and morbidity and lengthens hospital stay in a patient. You may have dose-related toxicity, so gentamicin can cause nephrotoxicity and ototoxicity, allergic reactions, so maybe an unknown penicillin allergy, and drug interactions.
And I'll also kind of stress that gentamicin in combination with furosemide, which is commonly given around the time of surgery as well, can amplify ototoxicity.
So what is your biggest pet hate relating to surgical antibiotic prophylaxis?
Antibiotics being continued longer than they're required. Really and truly, in the vast majority of cases, when an antibiotic is required, there should only be a single dose of antibiotics, possibly up to 24 hours being acceptable. For cardiac surgical procedures, up to 48 hours is accepted. However, this should only be for clean surgery if your surgery involves the placement of a prosthesis or an implant, clean contaminated surgery, or contaminated surgery. There really is no advantage in prolonging antibiotics afterwards, and there are disadvantages, as we've mentioned, such as side effects, resistance, C. diff, and cost. A general rule of thumb would be that you should only use single dose prophylaxis if the field is possibly contaminated,
but not definitely infected.
24 hours post-operative antibiotics if there is a fully resectable infection. You may need to use two days to 5 days of antibiotics if you're already operating on an advanced infection that you end up controlling well at the time of surgery. And you may need to use longer courses, and in those cases you're using the antibiotics as treatment for severe infection when the source was not easily controlled. This would be the sort of case in the setting of something like truly infected pancreatic necrosis.
And what needs to be known by every intern about this?
I'd say that every intern will need to know their local guidelines for the surgery in question. We're not going to go over those specifics here. We want you to look it up. So look it up on the CUH antimicrobial guidelines or the nchd.ie app. You need to know that the antibiotic infusion needs to be finished prior to the surgical incision, and we usually say within 60 minutes before the surgical incision. If you're using vancomycin, it can be quite difficult to achieve this because the infusion itself takes about 60 minutes, and therefore you need to make sure that the vancomycin infusion is hanging about 90 minutes before the surgery, and you'd really like it to be well finished before the incision is started. Another thing that is reasonable to know is that if someone has a prolonged surgery, usually beyond 4 hours, that you need to repeat the antibiotic prophylaxis, or if there's significant blood loss.
You need to redose as well.
So Lorna, where can interns and other doctors get further information about antibiotic prophylaxis?
The CUH Adult Antimicrobial Guidelines are found on the internet. Under guidelines. There are also hard copies in all of the wards. There is also the nchd.ie app, which has all the guidelines on it, as well as a vancomycin and a gentamicin calculator to help with dosing. Do you have one story or anecdote that relates to this topic?
I suppose I'd like to just hammer home the idea that antibiotics aren't always safe. So a tragic story to describe or to tell about is an unfortunate 35-year-old female patient whose care I was involved in. She received appropriate short course Augmentin for a peripartum infection around the delivery of her second child, developed toxic megacolon on this relapse, and required a subtotal colectomy with an end ileostomy fashioned. This worked well, and about a year or so later, she had reversal of the ileostomy. She received appropriate GI surgery, perioperative antibiotic prophylaxis, but unfortunately she developed very severe recurrent C. diff infections following the reversal procedure, and she had a very complicated and stormy course. She unfortunately developed C. diff colitis as a complication, was treated and improved. Unfortunately, within a month or two, she had a relapse of the C. diff colitis, and she...
Arthur, can you give an esoteric factor, higher level nugget of information?
Some people ask about using, if we're having so much trouble giving vancomycin in the right time period, is it better to give a medication that can be delivered as a quick push, like many of the cephalosporins can be given? We've thought about that. Teicoplanin is another glycopeptide that can be given in a much faster infusion. Unfortunately, we have quite a lot of data suggesting that you can't trust that you will achieve adequate levels preoperatively, and we don't have the facility on site to do teicoplanin levels. Daptomycin is also another consideration, as it can be given as a quick infusion as well, but currently we don't feel there's enough benefit to move away from appropriately administered vancomycin.
When vancomycin is needed.
So one other thing I'd like to stress is that antibiotics are only one measure of a multifaceted approach to reduce perioperative infection. The Surgical Care Improvement Program, the SCIP, SCIP, was introduced to reduce perioperative infections. Appropriate use of antibiotics is very much an important part of this, but there are other measures too, such as keeping appropriate blood sugar levels for people with diabetes, keeping patients who having colonic surgery at a normal body temperature, and instead of shaving hair close to the surgical incision site prior to surgery, that hair be clipped, which leads to a much less surgical site infection risk. Okay, well, that's just a quick overview relating to surgical antibiotic prophylaxis. The big thing we want to stress is that we have online guidelines. We want you to use the hospital guidelines, but also that we want to stress the fact that the antibiotics should be stopped as soon as is appropriate post-op. Thanks.